Then let's hear Karen Mason. I'll share my stories for later. Okay. Here's Karen Mason.
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care, and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be. You've got a friend. If the skies above you grow dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind begins to blow, keep your head together. People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you and take your soul if you let them. But don't you let them. Don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know.
You are a divine songbird, and I cannot thank you enough for sharing your gift with us today. Whatever you sing, it is a sermon unto itself, and what a perfect message for today. I hope that Sean makes it in. His talk today is called Together We Prosper, and many of you may recognize that as our theme for this year for our pledge partnership for 2022. And it's because we know that together we do prosper. And it's always remarkable to me. I love how things tie in together that weren't necessarily planned, but they look like they were. I look at how today's daily word supports that song message. You've got a friend. It's what we're doing here together. It's being home at Unity of New York. Friends together. Strangers enter in. No longer strangers, but friends. The daily word is that we envision all people living in harmony. You've got a friend, no matter what's going on. And Leo, is that you that I hear? I hear somebody in the other room. Is there any status on Sean?
I don't see him yet. I was unmuted. Sorry, my bad. Do you want to take everybody into a meditation for a few minutes?
I would like to do that because Karen set that up perfectly for us. So okay. I'm going to invite. Yeah. Ready?
Yes. Here, do your thing, Britt.
Okay. All right. Well, my thing is spontaneous living in the moment. All we have is this now moment. So we breathe it in. We let go. We know we are in the divine flow, moment to moment, asking, what is mine to do? Well, what is ours to do right now is to just be. Just be. As you notice your breath, just let it flow in and flow out with ease. Each breath taking you closer to that place of stillness, inner peace. That place where we do envision all people living in harmony. We know that in our divine connection with each other and with all around the globe, we feel this oneness. We feel this divine connection. If your eyes are still open, focusing on those beautiful candles on the screen, choose one of the flames and just allow your focus to go right to that flame from that divine spark within you. This is what the flame represents. That divine spark has been ignited and is slowly, gently expanding within, slowly filling up your entire body, activating the light that you are. It's impossible for you to hide your light under a bushel. You are the city on the hill that cannot be hid. Just continue breathing back and forth to this flame. Feeling the connection to your inner being. And as your entire being is now filled with light, from the very tips of your toes and your fingers to the very top of your head, this light is now surrounding you, emanating from you. And we continue to see that this light is slowly extending onward in beautiful rays of light. And now all of these lights are melding together in the universe. And as the light magnifies and multiplies, we see it sending onward and onward around the entire world. You are the light of the world. You literally are the light of the world. Now we're going to step into the silence for just a moment, into the stillness, into the nothingness. Just breathe. Just breathe. As we come back together into this now moment, we feel relaxed. We feel the very peace of God, of Spirit, that is in this place wherever we are. We remind ourselves that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. Wherever we are, God is. And so it is. And we manifested Sean.
Yes, we did. Wow.
Look at that.
I don't know what's up with communication this week, but ooh.
Well, you're here.
I am.
You're here now.
I'm here.
Almost
I'm
right
here.
On cue.
I'm here.
Surprise. Surprise cue.
They're playing a very final song in the sanctuary here right now. I am free. I am unlimited. But what's really bizarre is as just as I came into your meditation, you were saying the same words I could hear Kenneth saying in the final prayer out in the sanctuary at the same time.
Sean, what is even more interesting about that to me is I just mentioned when Leo said, Sean's not here. I was just mentioning how, well, I didn't say these words, but how synchronicity just gives me the biggest thrill because as Karen was singing, You've Got a Friend, I thought, you know, that's right there in our daily word today. And what I love hearing almost every week is people that were in the quest saying, that's what we were talking about in the quest this morning.
Yeah.
It's that spirit used to happen at work.
58th Street. You know, I'd study with Paul. I'd study with, Nan Baldwin and Mary Alice Brown. Mm-hmm. They'd all be teaching the same somehow class, but I knew none of them communicated ever once.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's
we're divinely communicating. It's like the new book and the quest, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. I finally remembered it without looking at the title. The Power of the Subconscious Mind is exactly what's going on right now with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes.
It's good to, I'm glad you got here.
Me too.
I'd rather hear what you've got to share this morning than me on the fly. But, you know, Spirit speaks through us. And it's good to see you again because it's been a while. You've been on a long vacation since we saw you Christmas Eve.
I got to go to Florida for almost 3 weeks.
Yeah. And your punishment was a cold when you landed.
Well, I didn't bring back the cold, but I did bring back a cold.
A cold. Yeah. We have the cold. You have a cold, and it's all
temporary.
I got stuff
I'm releasing.
Yes, you are. Maybe well, I'm really grateful today that you are going to take the baton with our what is really the thread of our theme for the year, that together we do prosper. And so I'm going to say thank you, carry on, and I'll see you on the flip side.
Thank you, I hope. God is good. Hey, good morning, everybody. Sorry about all that confusion. All of a sudden, I'm just about to go on, and my computer says something has gone wrong, and we have to restart. And my computer does not restart quickly. It has lots of things it wants to say to me before it completely gets me to the communication level. So today, together we prosper. That's the theme we came up with for our pledge partnership this year. And I said to Britt, what would you like me to talk about this week? And he said, how about our theme? So I looked up the metaphysical meaning of prosperity. And I like to read this sometimes. And it says, the consciousness of God as the abundant, everywhere, present resource, unfailing, ready for all who open themselves to it through faith. They that seek Jehovah shall not want any good thing. That comes from Psalms 34:10. But it says, ready for all who open themselves to it through faith. And a lot of people would say, I'm ready for my prosperity. I'm ready. I bought a lottery ticket. I am ready. And then they will worry about the weather, not just worry about the weather. They will truly give the weather power. They will complain about their neighbor. And their neighbor may live next door. Their neighbor may live in another state. It's all neighbors. If we are together, then how do we open ourselves to prosperity? Well, it seems to me by interrupting anything that would block it. Resentment blocks prosperity. Complaint blocks prosperity. Fear blocks our prosperity. And it's not just my prosperity, it is our prosperity. There's a lot of the planet that would seem to not be prospering right now. Why is it? It's not about them. It's not about me. It's about us. However, it does start with me, doesn't it? Let there be peace in earth, as Fillmore said, and let it begin with me. So we go from there. Let there be peace in earth, this body, this mind, and let it begin with me. So prosperity, the consciousness of God as the abundant, everywhere present resource, unfailing, ready for all who open themselves to it through faith. I'm so sorry. Some would say, well, Sean, why do you have a cold then? Because I have a cold. I don't know. I know I sat under some vents and things when I was away. And then I came back, and each day the cough has gotten progressively, I don't know if you call it worse or better, because stuff is coming up. And I think of that as old thoughts coming up out of me into the trash can. And that's how I look at that. Every time I blow my nose, it's old thoughts that I no longer need, old poisons, old toxins that are coming up and out of me. Eric Butterworth used to say that a cold is a sign of wellness. Even cancer can be a sign of wellness if we allow it to be, because we're allowing old stuff to come up and leave. Now, let me go on here to say that within prosperity, prosperity is based on the conscious possession of the idea of God's abundance back of all things. Now, how many of you think of God's abundance back of all your divine ideals? Or are you trying to figure out how to make them happen? And if they're not happening, you must be doing something wrong. But the thing we're doing wrong is we're not putting God's presence back of them, back of these divine ideas. There are certain things that I know in life that are taking place, and I have no idea how they're taking place. I know they are mine to experience, and I know they are unfolding. Why? Because I got a hit that said that. I listen to those hits, and then I show up for where I'm supposed to show up, and I go from there. Things come and go, but the idea of abundance endures. Why would you buy a lottery ticket if you didn't believe in abundance? So now, what has to go along with the dollar in a dream? What do you have to do? What do I have to do? If I'm going to buy a lottery ticket, if you're going to buy a lottery ticket, what is it we need to be thinking about? It can't just be buying the ticket. It's a start. But remember, I wouldn't buy a ticket if I didn't think it was possible. I'm not telling everybody here to go gamble. I'm really not. But the idea behind any gambling is, oh, I can prosper. Now, gambling may not be your way of prospering. It might not be my way of prospering. I remember after my mother made her transition, I happened to go to Atlantic City with some friends many years ago. And I thought, oh, mother loved to gamble. Mother just loved going to casinos and what have you. Maybe today she's going to do some finagling in the machines or something. So I'm playing, and I didn't win a thing. And by the end of the day, I realized, mother never won. She just liked playing. And so there you go. So why would I call? I needed to call on somebody else if I was going to win, somebody who did that a lot. Now, Fillmore says here, after the idea of abundance endures, things appear at its command. Jesus had no visible possessions, but he could supply thousands of persons with food through praising and giving thanks to the invisible spirit of plenty. Do you believe in the invisible spirit of plenty? Do you? See, this is how together we prosper, because we are talking about this now. We are taking on these ideas and these thoughts to see, what do I believe in? You know, I had to ask myself that for years. I began to pray, and really began to pray in earnest years ago. But did I believe what I was praying, or was I doing it just because I knew it was a good idea and I wanted to get stuff? So, but prosper is in the mind. I've got to prosper through my mind. So he goes on to say, the difference between spiritual prosperity and material prosperity is that spiritual prosperity is founded on understanding of the inexhaustible, omnipresent substance of spirit as the source of supply. The material belief is that the possession of things constitutes prosperity. Do you hear that? The material belief is that the possession of things constitutes prosperity. So some people think, if I have a Mercedes, then I'm prosperous. If I have cash in the bank, I'm prosperous. If I got something sparkly to wear around my neck or on my hand, I'm prosperous. No, that's not true. It's the idea that brings about the sparkly that constitutes the prosperity. Many people who don't have things are very prosperous. They don't care about the things. That's not what it represents to them. But they are very, very prosperous because they have the divine idea of prosperity, whether they have those words or not. See, that's the cool thing. You don't have to have all the unity words, all the new thought words, in order to have a consciousness of prosperity. You have to have a consciousness of prosperity to have a consciousness of prosperity. I hope that makes sense. So what we want is a consciousness of prosperity. When I was waiting for the computer to come up, I kept knowing, well, I'm about to talk about prosperity. Clearly, the computer is not what makes me prosperous. But the willingness to have this talk, to have these thoughts, that is my prosperity consciousness. Now, the together part, let's look at that. And to me, together implies oneness. How are we one? We look so different. We dress different. You know, today I decided to wear a nice fuzzy shirt because it's warm and I wanted to be warm. And so I look at that, but you're probably not dressed in fuzzy shirts, many of you. You're dressed in your pajamas, you're dressed in what have you. So listen to this. Listen to this. This comes from Emily Cady's. This is the Dalai Lama. Dalai Lama said this: in our quest for happiness and the avoidance of suffering, we are all fundamentally the same. Do you hear that? In our quest for happiness and the avoidance of suffering, we have a quest to avoid suffering. We are all fundamentally the same. and therefore equal. Despite the characteristics that differentiate us, race, language, religion, gender, wealth, and many other things, we are all equal in terms of our basic humanity. Dalai Lama said that on Twitter, of all things. So now, Emily Cady and How I Use Truth wrote, and this is what I thought, ooh, you don't often hear these kind of words, but here's the word that the prayer that craves a particular commodity, anything less than all good is vicious. How about that? Prayer that craves a particular commodity, anything less than all good is vicious. And what would all good? It means that all beings may prosper. All my brothers and sisters everywhere may prosper and thrive. Don't get prosperity confused with stuff. It means that we may all be filled with divine ideas. What if the thief, that he or she who prospers in order to prosper, must make amends for all that they have stolen? And so if I were willing that the thief prosper, if I, in my prayer time, expressed my willingness, all thieves may prosper. And that means that all thieves may make amends, restoration for what they have taken, and an understanding, oh, I have hurt others by taking this. I don't want to hurt anyone else. I don't want to hurt myself anymore. And so you see, that's how it makes us equal, in that we will come together in righteousness. We'll say, I haven't used that word in a long time, but in our spirituality, in our oneness, that I am willing that all beings prosper. And I don't know what that means exactly, and I don't know how it will manifest, but I am willing. You know, how would you become willing? And so that together we may prosper. Together we may rise up above and beyond our limited perceptions and open up to the truth of God, the truth of good, the truth of light, the truth of wisdom, the power and presence, so that we can get on about the business rather than us deciding somebody needs to go to jail, somebody needs to pay for what they did, somebody needs to do this, this one has no business prospering. We don't know. I'm telling you, we must. We absolutely must become willing that all beings prosper. Do you hear me? We must. We absolutely must become willing that all beings prosper. In my practice of forgiveness, I must release and I must let go of the results. I must know that all beings are in God. And God, whatever God is, knows better than I do. And so let there be peace on earth or in earth, and let it begin with me. Let me go on here. Prayer is the contemplation of the facts of life from the highest point of view. It is the soliloquy of a beholding and jubilant soul. It is the spirit of God pronouncing God's works good. But prayer as a means to effect a private end is meanness and theft. Now, have you ever thought of it that way? It's like, oh my goodness, it just transforms my head, and it's like, oh, I don't want to be a selfish person. So prayer as a means to effect, it means to effect a private end, is meanness and theft. Well, that's a drag. You know, as I'm praying, oh, I hope I win the lottery. I love that. How many of us have prayed to win the lottery? But we're not praying for our friends and family, are we, to win the lottery? We're praying that we do so we can go be the generous soul. Why I'm on lottery today, I do not know. The one I drove here today, right across the street, is a place that sells it. So I saw the sign. But what if I were willing that my family and my friends win the lottery and they share with me what they decide to share with me? You know, that eliminates big shotism on my part. And that's what we need to pay attention there. But prayer is a means to effect a private end is meanness and theft. It supposes dualism and not unity in nature and consciousness. As soon as the divine being, man, we'll call it man and woman, is consciously at one with God, he will not beg. As soon as we are one with God, we will not beg. Emerson said that. As soon as we are consciously at one with God, we will not beg. True prayer, then, is just a continual recognition and thanksgiving that all is good, and that all good is ours now as much as it can ever be. Oh, when will our faith become strong and steadfast enough to take possession of our inheritance here? The Israelites entered not into the promised land because of their unbelief. Their inheritance was real and was awaiting them then and there. But it could not do them any good nor give any enjoyment until they took hold of it by faith. After which, and as a result of which, would have come into the reality. It is this taking by faith that brings anything into actuality and visibility. Remember, I've been talking about the 12 powers lately in the Tuesday newsletter, and I said faith is our yes power. Faith is what we're saying yes to. So look at what you're saying yes to and see if you believe it. But pay attention to that. Truly, am I saying yes that all beings may prosper? And that includes me. I'm one of all beings, but that all beings, those ones I like, the ones I don't like, they may all prosper. They may all have divine ideas and with the willingness, faith, will, understanding, to carry them out. Emily Cady goes on to say, why will this mortal mind of ours forever postpone the acceptance of all good as our rightful inheritance of this life? The heir of material wealth must accept his or her inheritance before he or she can possibly come into its possession or use. So long as he or she rejects it, he or she is as poor as though nothing had been provided for them. All things are ours now. Fullness of love, of life, of wisdom, of power. I am more than these. Fullness of all good, which means abundance of all things, material as well as spiritual. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. When I say above, it doesn't mean up in the sky. Above means the divine mind. It means the highest mind. And so pay attention to that. Every good gift. And where does this good gift come from? Some would say God. I say it comes from ourselves. We give ourselves our prosperity. We give ourselves. You can say, oh, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. But what that really means is, I am so grateful. I am willing to give myself this good gift. I am willing to give it, and I am willing to receive it. God gave it in the beginning, but it's me giving it to myself now. How? By a change in consciousness. Every good gift coming from above, down from the divine light. Pay attention to all that. Pay attention to everything I've just said. Prosperity is the consciousness of God as the abundant, everywhere, present resource, unfailing, ready for all who open it themselves to it through faith. Together, because we are all one in spirituality, because we are all one and the same, therefore equal. Why? In our quest for happiness and the avoidance of suffering, we are all fundamentally the same. So one last thing I want to read here. It comes from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, my favorite book. And it's Hebrews chapter 13. And it says here, we are all one. Everything that you perceive, be it seen or unseen, within your awareness of known or known only as a memory, all that it is one. Stand grateful within it, as it in awe of all that is. I've got to read that again because I'm not at the depth I want it to be for me. We are all one. Everything that you perceive, be it seen or unseen, within your awareness or known only as a memory, all that is one. All that is one. Stand grateful within it, as it, in awe of all that it is. Then, love your brother and your sister as yourself, remembering that he or she is yourself. Even if he or she seems to be completely unaware. I'm sure we're all conscious of a lot of people that don't seem to know they're one with me. But there's a lot of people I don't know I'm one with them. So pay attention to that. God is all things, and all things are you. This is because you are the process of creation that is God, and God is the process of creation that is you. Nothing is separable within the process that is God. It is all one, and you are one with it. So I encourage everyone today to work with your God, to discover, is your God a loving God? Is your God on your side? Does your God love you and like you? If it is, get about the business of loving and liking yourself. If your God does not like you, get a new God. The God, if you have a God that does not like you or does not like your enemy, if you have that kind of God, that's not a healthy God. You see, we're making God up. Take that in. We're making God up. And if we're going to make it up, let's make it up in love and presence and power. Let's make it up in wisdom and intelligence. Let's make it up in joy and peace. So that we, as one, together, we may prosper. And so it is. Let's listen to Karen complete the process.
Down and spoil me rotten.
call me buddy. Bye bye, Bantam.